नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरव भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर joining today's session. So, last couple of weeks we discussed on this theme of how do we approach, because we are going to study another Acharya's commentary. We are going to and try to understand Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on Bhagavad Gita. So we try to understand what should be the mood, and we try to understand what is this as it is commentary, why is it called as it is commentary, what are the components of an as it is commentary, and what should be our mood of approaching other Acharya's commentaries, and what are the pitfalls, what are the methodologies. So we tried to very briefly touch on these various themes, and we also so today we will discuss the introduction that Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has written to this particular Bhagavad Gita commentary that he has written. So, but before we start Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's introduction to his commentary, if there are any discussion points or questions based on what we covered in the last two sessions, maybe we could take for a few minutes before we start the introduction today.
प्रभु जी दैट प्रधानी भू भक्ति आई डिडंट गेट आई
Yeah, we
डिडंट
are going to
अंडरस्टैंड
discuss it today, Mataji.
ओके
In today's session, we'll discuss. Anything else anyone would like to share? Anything you wanted to ask? Something was not clear or something? Okay, so if there are no discussion points, then we will start with Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's introduction to his commentary. So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur titles his commentary as Sararth Varshini commentary. Varshini means like a cloud which sprinkles rain shower. Sararth Varshini is that which sprinkles the essential truths. So incidentally, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's Bhagavatam commentary is called as Sararth Darshini, and his Bhagavad Gita commentary is called as Sararth Varshini. So we will read the introduction, and while we are discussing, if there are any comments, you can stop me in the middle, and you can just unmute yourself and start speaking. Okay,
Prabhuji, I
so
didn't get that Sararth Darshini and Sararth
Varshini,
Varshini.
Varshini is Bhagavad Gita, Darshini is Bhagavatam. So introduction we will discuss. He writes two Mangalacharan prayers while beginning his commentary. So he says, Gauramshuka Satkumuda Pramodi Swava Swabhikyaya Gostamo Nihanta Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sudha Nidirme Mano Dithishtan Swaratim Karotu. So he says, Sudha Nidhi. Sudha means nectar, Nidhi means treasure or ocean. So may the ocean of nectar. So what is that ocean of nectar? Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is compared here to Sudha Nidhi, the ocean of nectar. So Gauram Shukaha. Amshu means rays. अंशुकः गौर अंशुकः मीन्स हु एमनेट्स गोल्डन रेस. सो जस्ट लाइक द सन, व्हेन द सन रेस फॉल ऑन द लोटस or the lilies, they start blooming. Similarly, when the golden rays emanating from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when they fall on Sat Kumuda, Sat means devotees, Kumuda means lotuses or lilies, Pramodi means it gives great joy. The sunlight gives great joy to the lotus, and the lotus very eagerly blooms to welcome the sun rays. So similarly, the golden rays emanating from the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually it gives joy to the white water lilies of saintly devotees, or white lotuses you can say. And then it is mentioned, goes tamaso nihanta. Just like the sunlight destroys the darkness of earth in the form of, you know, the darkness of lack of light, and similarly the golden rays emanating from the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it destroys the darkness of earth, which is dark due to lack of devotion to Krishna. So, and where the golden rays are emanating from? Swabhikyaya. Swabhikyaya means by splendorous beauty. May the ocean of nectar, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, who emanates golden rays giving joy to the white water lilies of the saintly devotees, and who destroys the darkness of the earth, may mano aditishtan, may he be present in my mind. Swaratim karotu, and may he bestow on me attraction for himself. Like that. So he is begging Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for bestowing attraction for himself. So this is the first verse that Srila Vishwanatha Thakur writes. Gauram Shukah Sat Kumuda Pramodi Swabhikyaya Gostamaso Nihanta Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sudhanidirme Manoditishtan Swaratim Karotu. Then in the next verse he speaks about his work that he is going to the commentary. Prachina Vacha सुविचार्य सोहम अज्ञोपि गीतामृतलेशलिप्सुः यते प्रभोरेव मते तदत्र संतक्षमद्वं शरणागतस्य. सो ही सेज अज्ञोपि, इवन दो आई एम एन अज्ञ, आई एम अ वेरी इग्नोरेंट पर्सन, सुविचार्य बट आई हैव केयरफुली कंसिडर्ड प्राचीन वाचः ऑल द प्रीवियस कमेंट्रीज. You see, even though he is such a great acharya, but he is telling that I have carefully considered or referred to the previous commentaries, right? Prachina vachah, suvicharya, aham lipsuhu. After carefully considering the previous commentaries, I desire. What does he desire? Gita lesha. I desire to obtain a drop of the nectar of that Gita and have thus written this commentary. So the purpose of Srila Vishwanatha Thakur writing this commentary is his desire to obtain a drop of that nectar of that Gita. And he says that I have written this commentary after carefully referring to the previous commentaries written on Gita. Okay. Santaha, may the devotees, shamadvam, forgive me or tolerate sharanagatasya, this work of a surrendered soul. Tadatra, which is written, yatehe prabhor eva mate. Yatehe, of that sannyasi. And who is that sannyasi? Prabhoho. Who is my Prabhu? My sannyasi Prabhu or my sannyasi master, eva mate. And this is according to the opinion of my sannyasi master, which is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rather, it is my master who is a sannyasi, like that. I have written this this commentary according to the opinion of my master Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So of all the commentaries, of all the Gita commentaries in our line, this commentary is the one which very beautifully brings out our Gaudiya Vaishnava conclusions through a Gita commentary, actually, which is very interesting, which means this Gita commentary is in line with the conclusions of Chaitanya Charitamrita, actually. So ultimately, our guiding light is Chaitanya Charitamrita. So if you want a Gita commentary which is whose conclusions are in line with the conclusions of Chaitanya Charitamrita, that is actually Srila Vishwanatha Chakradhakur's commentary, actually. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhor Matamidam Tatradaro Napara, like that. Now he continues. So while I'm discussing, if you want to stop me anywhere, you can stop and you can share your thoughts, you know. So he says, the son of Vasudev, Parabrahman in human form, the original Bhagavan, whose lotus feet are desired by all the scriptures in this world, descended directly in Mathura and most inconceivably became visible to the eyes of all people of the material world. Right? So he's talking about Krishna, who appeared in Mathura and has become visible to all people of this material world, delivering the people of the universe who are drowning in the ocean of material life. He submerged them instead in the great ocean of his own prema by bestowing on them a taste of the sweetness of his beauty. So by showing his own form, he submerged the people of this world in his own beauty. So he submerged the people in his own prema by showing his own beauty. Right? So then it is mentioned that established in his great vow to protect the righteous and destroy the evil, paritranaya sadunam vinashaya cha dushkritam, on the pretext of relieving the earth of its burden of suffering, he gave the greatest protection in the form of liberation even to those who have devoured by the crocodile of material life, to the most evil persons, even to those who displayed great hatred towards himself. So on the pretext of this paritranaya sadunam vinashaya cha dushkritam, Krishna appeared and gave the greatest protection in the form of liberation even to those who are completely devoured by the crocodile of material life, to the most evil persons, even to those who hated himself, in order to deliver the jivas who would be afflicted after his disappearance by lamentation and delusion arising from the bondage of beginningless ignorance, and in order to uphold his glorious reputation sung by the sages, the makers of scriptures, he singled out Arjuna, his dear friend. So Krishna was concerned here, Srila Vishnu Chakradhakur says, that how would the jivas be delivered? So he was thinking, while I am here, it is possible for people who come in touch with me to get delivered. But after I leave, what will be the position of those people who would be consumed by lamentation and illusion arising from bondage of beginningless ignorance? So what will be their position? So he thought, okay, I should use Arjuna as an instrument to deliver them. So what did Krishna do? He put Arjuna into Vishad, lamentation. Arjuna then became afflicted by lamentation and delusion at the commencement of the war by the Lord's own desire in order to fulfill the Lord's purposes. The Lord wanted to give a solution for those living entities to get liberated after he leaves, after he completes his pastimes and leaves back to his abode. So the Lord put Arjuna into lamentation and delusion. Actually, Arjuna is a pure devotee. There is no chance for such a pure devotee to be afflicted by lamentation. So it was all orchestrated by Krishna. So that, through Arjuna, other people can get, liberation. The Lord thus manifested to Arjuna the highest goal of humanity, making it most real and attainable in the form of the Gita, with 18 chapters containing 18 types of knowledge, ornamented with the jewels of the ultimate import of the Vedas, composed of three subjects. So the Vedas composed of three subjects are Kanda Trayatmika Sarva Veda. This refers to Karma Kanda, or the karma part, the jnana part, and the upasana part. So he has presented this Gita in 18 chapters, which is bestowing 18 types of knowledge, and within it are hidden the jewels of the ultimate import of the Vedas. So now he says, to the first six chapters of the Gita, he presents Nishkama Karma Yoga. Through the second six chapters, he presents Bhakti Yoga. And through the third six chapters, he presents the Jnana Yoga. So Bhakti Yoga is placed between Karma and Jnana Yoga because of its confidential nature. Right? So he says that being placed in the middle, it is not so obvious. So therefore, it's confidential. So it is. Why is it placed in the middle? The first reason is that it is confidential. And the second reason is that unless when bhakti is in the middle, right? When bhakti is in the middle, karma is on left hand side, jnana is on right hand side. Unless bhakti is touching jnana and karma, karma and jnana are lifeless. If bhakti would be at the last, then bhakti would be just touching jnana. And only jnana will get life. But karma will not get life. Or if bhakti was in the beginning and karma was second and jnana was third, then bhakti would be touching only karma and not jnana. So jnana would be fruitless, useless. So bhakti is in the middle, also because bhakti has to give life to karma and jnana. Without the touch of bhakti, karma and jnana are useless. So this is the second reason why bhakti is placed in the middle. Okay. First is because of its confidential nature. And second is because it has to give life. And the third is because it is most rare, and because of its most rare, therefore it is protected by the other two topics on either side. So for these three reasons, bhakti is placed in the middle. Okay, first is because of its confidential nature, and second is to give life to karma and jnana. And the third is because it is very rare. And moreover, because these two are useless without bhakti, only by being mixed with bhakti do they become acceptable. So this is a very important topic. This is a very important theme which will keep recurring in Bhagavad Gita. Karma विदाउट भक्ति इज यूजलेस. सिमिलरली ज्ञान विदाउट भक्ति इज यूजलेस. सिमिलरली योगा विदाउट भक्ति इज यूजलेस. सो व्हाट इज मेंशन्ड एज कर्मयोगा इज एक्चुअली कर्म प्लस भक्ति, वेर भक्ति इज सेकेंडरी, कर्म इज प्राइमरी. एंड व्हाट इज कॉल्ड एज ज्ञान योगा इज एक्चुअली ज्ञान प्लस भक्ति, वेर भक्ति में भी सेकेंडरी एंड ज्ञान में भी प्राइमरी. ओके. एंड व्हाट इज कॉल्ड एज अष्टांग योगा इज एक्चुअली योगा प्लस भक्ति, वेर भक्ति इज सेकेंडरी एंड योगा इज प्राइमरी. सो ईवन व्हाट वी कॉल एज कर्मयोगा, ज्ञान योगा एंड अष्टांग योगा, एटलीस्ट एज अ सेकेंडरी एलिमेंट भक्ति इज देयर, राइट? सो एटलीस्ट एज अ सेकेंडरी एलिमेंट भक्ति इज देयर. सो ही सेज देर आर टू टाइप्स ऑफ भक्ति, केवला भक्ति विच इज प्योर भक्ति, अन्याभिलाषिता शून्यम ज्ञान कर्मादिनावृतम आनुकुल्येन कृष्णानुशीलनम, दैट इज केवला भक्ति. एंड देन द सेकेंड इज प्राधानी भूत भक्ति, ए प्रोसेस दैट इज प्रिडोमिनेटेड बाय भक्ति. सो माताजी आस्क्ड व्हाट दिस इज, आई एम गोइंग टू डिस्क्राइब इट. द फर्स्ट इज इंडिपेंडेंट एंड स्ट्रांग. सो शुद्ध भक्ति इज इंडिपेंडेंट एंड स्ट्रांग. Without the mixture of karma, jnana, and jnana, it is pure and powerful. Actually, bhakti supports karma, jnana, and yoga. Now, my question to you is, can karma, jnana, and yoga support bhakti? What is your understanding? Can karma, jnana, and yoga support bhakti? Just as bhakti is supporting karma, jnana, yoga, can karma, jnana and yoga support bhakti?
They are like adulterations, contamination.
They are contaminations. They actually cloud bhakti. They can never support bhakti. So bhakti without them is very good actually. Bhakti without them, they are like clouds. Sunlight cannot be, sunlight does not need the support of clouds. Actually, sunlight would rather have the clouds away so that the full sunlight can be accessed by people. So similarly, karma, jnana, yoga are like clouds. So when the sunlight, bhakti is like sunlight. So when karma, jnana and yoga, they come in between bhakti, then the potency of bhakti gets clouded. Yes, I see two hands up. One is Mataji, another is Sachi Pran Prabhu. Mataji, you can go ahead.
Prabhuji, but don't we read scriptures and do devotional service? So that is also karma and jnana, and you know, part of yoga also. You know, we sit in Padmasana, and when we chant, so that is like it has to have these three also, right?
Yeah.
So how can we say that they are adulteration? Because unless and until we have some gyan, we cannot bhakti cannot. I mean, it can exist on its own, but for achieving bhakti, we need to go through this process, right?
Yeah. So this jnana is not what is mentioned here. What is mentioned as karma is that karma which is a portion of the karma yoga, which talks about performing activities according to one's varna, according to one's ashrama, and strictly abiding by the dharma shastras or karma shastras and not bhakti shastras. There are activities involved in bhakti shastras which do not fall within the category of karma, but they fall within the category of bhakti. Okay. And there are the knowledge of bhakti shastras is not jnana, but it is bhakti only. But what is called as jnana is jnana according to the jnana shastras, according to the Upanishads, which involves meditating on the qualitative oneness between the jiva and the Supreme Lord. So while devotees also understand that the jivas and the Supreme Lord are qualitatively one, but that is a part of their basic sambandha gyan, basic knowledge. But it is not a part of their sadhana. Prabhupada recommended sadhana that daily at least 15 minutes you have to meditate on, you are not the body, you are the soul. He has insisted that we are not the body, we are the soul, that we need to understand. But it is not a part of our active meditation. It is not a part of our sadhana. But for the jnana yogis, it is a part of their sadhana. Meditating on Sankhya. We understand Sankhya. How we are not the mind, how we are not the intelligence, how we are not the body. But it is not our means of purification, our means of progress on the path of bhakti is not depending on meditating on these things. While we meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna, we meditate on our service to Krishna, we meditate on the holy names of Krishna, the holy pastimes of Krishna. So this kind of meditation we do, whereas they meditate on that knowledge about the non-difference between the body and soul, the non-difference between the qualitative non-difference between the jiva and the Supreme Lord, that kind of meditation, that is not really, that is that kind of jnana we do not do, we do not engage in. So jnana is not like generic jnana. Jnana means as described in the jnana shastras. And karma means as described in the dharma shastras or karma shastras, like that. Otherwise, bhakti also involves jnana, bhakti also involves karma, like that. Yes, Sachibram, do you had something?
My point clear, Dobji. Only one small...
Prabhu, I didn't hear you. I think I had a... Yeah, go ahead.
My point got clear. Now okay. You're able to hear me?
Yeah.
Prabhuji, my point got clear. So the service that we do, sometimes the ultimate conclusion is bhakti. Like suppose someone is serving a dham, or serving, coming. But the ultimately serving, he is not serving in the mood of, I am doing bhakti. Is that fall under bhakti shastra or karma shastra? Like he is unknowingly doing some karma, and that is actually... Suppose we knowingly do it, it becomes bhakti. Like serving a Brajavasi, it may fall under there. Someone is just coming and distributing prasad, or someone is distributing like doing annakshetra or something. Without thinking that he is doing bhakti. So that kind of karmas, are they part of bhakti shastras or okay. are they part of karma shastras?
Okay. Good question you asked, Prabhu. I will just touch this point. There could be activities I will take the specific example that you have given, okay, distributing food, okay, to Vrajavasis, okay. So now first category, he is distributing because of his love for Vrajavasis. So he is a devotee. And by that act, he will advance in bhakti. Okay, because it is the Bhakti Shastras which say that, Vrajavasis are great devotees and one should do Vaishnava Seva. The second category person is doing the same, distributing because the Dharma Shastras recommend annadana. So if he is doing it for piety, I want some piety by performing annadana, so what he will, that is considered karma only. Okay, so such a person will get piety because his source is that. But if a person out of material compassion, if he is distributing, okay, so then, but because he is distributing it to the Vrajavasis who are very dear to Krishna, he will get Agyat Sukriti. And which can mature into bhakti. Okay. He is neither doing it because the bhakti shastras say, nor doing it because the dharma shastras say. He does not know. He just feels like, oh, these people are old people, you know, they don't have much to eat. I should give them some food. So Krishna says, you know, for Bhaktivedanta Hospital also, there may be many projects for which they may be raising funds. Okay. So some funds come, okay, specifically for this project. Some Barsanai camp. Some funds come specifically for palliative care. Some funds come specifically for whatever. Right. So, but there might be, if some funds come, let's say you use it for whatever you want. They don't specify. If they say for what they are giving donation, you may say by default you may put it in, some account, right? Like Barsanai camp account. Agar kisi ne kuch purpose diya nahi hai, toh by default it will go to Barsanai camp. So like that, Krishna says, if you are doing it for liberation, I'll give you liberation. If you are doing it for piety, I will give you piety. If you are doing it because the bhakti shastras say, and for advancement in bhakti, you will advance in bhakti. If you are not doing it according to any of these shastras, then by default, I will take it to help you advance in bhakti. So therefore, a person who knows dharma shastras, in this case, is little disadvantageous in one sense. Because he knows what is what he wants. By doing it, he says, "Give me piety." So Krishna says, "So I can't help it. You asked for it. Take it." But this person, who is just doing it out of material compassion, not knowing. So Krishna is wondering which account I should put. Should I give him some piety? Should I give him, should I make him advance in bhakti? But of course, he's not asking for it. So what do I do? He says, by default, I'll put it in his Agyat Sukriti account. Because the people involved are devotees. And let's say, if in trying to exhibit that compassion, he comes and supports ISKCON, who are distributing actually prasadam. Then further, he gets more Agyat Sukriti because you are distributing prasadam to Vrajavasis. So it is still more. So whether it is an act of karma it will be an act of karma. This specific example I am using, distributing food to Vrajavasis. Let us say if he is distributing ordinary food to ordinary people, just out of compassion, then he will not get Agyat Sukriti. Then he will get regular piety only. That's all. Okay. But because you use the specific example of distributing food to Vrajavasis, so in that specific case, it will lead to Agyat Sukriti. If he is distributing it to regular people, regular food, then that will give him piety. That's all. Yes, Mataji, you had a question.
Prabhuji, so you spoke about karma and jnana being lifeless without bhakti. Mm-hmm. Is it a bhakti point of view, or what do the karma yogis and the jnana yogis, do they have a similar understanding like that?
No, they see that element of bhakti as a part of karma only. They don't see it as bhakti. They see it as karma only. Sarvam Shri Krishna Arpanamastu, like that they may say. And they may see that chanting of the holy name to be a part of karma. But that is an element of bhakti. They may not see it as the element of bhakti. They may see it as an element of karma, but we know that it is an element of bhakti which is giving life to all that they are doing so painstakingly. They may not know, but it is there. And that's how it is designed by Krishna. And if they are doing it according to Krishna's design, automatically bhakti is performed. But they may not know it. They may not see it that way.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhu.
Because Dhruva Maharaj did Om Namo Narayana, Bhagavan is so perceptive. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Narayana, so Prahlad Maharaj. The intention of doing Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya was not achieving bhakti. It was a complete administrative purpose, and he wanted to be winner of that.
Yeah.
For devotion. So how can we explain? Because in Vajavasi they are giving prasad, and it's unknowingly or knowingly or kamo saro kamo moksha kamo udarati. You may not know you are doing bhakti. But you are doing pious activity. But ultimate aim was bhakti to Dhruva Maharaj. So how can we come?
Dhruva Maharaj's case is a very unique case, Prabhu. Dhruva Maharaj definitely did bhakti, but it was mixed bhakti. Because he definitely knew Lord Vishnu to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But nevertheless, ideally he should not have got Krishna Prem because his sadhana was not pure. So in Bhaktirasamsindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami writes, Dhruva Maharaj's case to be a case of actually Kripa Siddhi. So Kripa Siddhi means even without pure devotion sadhana, sometimes in very rare cases, the Lord may give the result of pure devotional service. In very rare cases, in Dhruva Maharaj's case, seeing the determination of a 5-year-old boy to pursue with such determination, even though it may be mixed devotional practice, which Narada Muni suggested, the Lord gave him Kripa. So he fulfilled his material desire also. But at the same time, it is like you, if you purchase economy ticket, you will get an economy ticket. But sometimes they can, what do they call? You know, they escalate it to business class, right? Sometimes. But you can't expect that, okay, I got an... What, Prabhu? Yeah, but you can't expect that every time, last time you escalated it, this time also you should... It's very rare. Very rarely they escalate it to from economy to business class. So, Dhruva Maharaj's case is one such very rare case, which does not generally happen. Generally, what happens is when you're... Pure devotion matures, it leads to prema. When your mixed devotion matures, then it leads to salokya mukti or something lesser than prema. So depending on what kind of practice it is. So Dhruva Maharaj's case is very rare case actually. It is. Shyamantu, you have raised your hands.
Prabhuji, this Sukriti in the category which gives rise to bhakti, I think there's a terminology for that. It is called as Bhakti Janya Sukriti or something like that.
Yeah, Bhakti Onmukhi Sukriti.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just that.
Yeah. Okay.
Prabhuji, Hare Krishna.
Yes, Mataji.
if these karma yogis, if they do activities of bhakti, will they get agyat sukruti without knowing this bhakti, if they are doing activities in the bhakti?
Yeah, if they don't know it is activities of bhakti, then we have to understand why they are doing it. They may be doing it because their karma shastras are recommending. So their karma shastras are recommending them for what? For getting some piety or some swarga or whatever. So with that mood, if they are performing it, they will get what they are asking for. So they will not get agyat sukriti. And they don't want it also. So they want actually, they have asked for piety. So they want piety. They will take piety only.
Prabhuji, Prabhupada gives the example of medicine or fire, whether you take unknowingly or knowingly acts. But you are saying that even if it is an act of bhakti, the intention matters. So how do you understand?
Yeah. So, I mean, Prabhupada does say that. But that analogy is not a complete analogy, Prabhu. Just like any other analogy, no analogy is complete. So that analogy is generally used, not just by Prabhupada, even the other acharyas use that analogy, that whether you, in the sixth canto also, there is a what is ends there. It will not have the same effect when taken with faith and without faith. So when taken with faith, and there are many, many sub-conditions actually. When taken, it's like when taken without faith, without any contamination of Mayavadi understanding, and without offenses, then it will have one effect. When it is taken without faith, with Mayavadi contamination and with offenses, it will have some very different effect. If chanted without faith, without Mayavadi understanding, but with offenses, it will have a different effect. When chanted with faith, with offenses, it will have a different effect. With faith, without offenses, it will have a different effect. So there are various permutations and combinations. Either any way it is chanted, it will have some effect, but it will not have the same effect. So that example of medicine taken, it is just to show that it will have some effect. It is not that it will have the same effect whether it is chanted with faith, without faith, with offenses, without offenses. It's not like that.
You said that if a karmi does devotion, mixed devotion, then he might get salokya mukti. But without devotion, how can one go to the Lord's planet and stay with him?
I think
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I am sorry, I got disconnected. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. So yes, Prabhuji. I was answering Loknath Prabhu's question. But could you hear the answer, Prabhu, or did it get disconnected?
The second question I didn't couldn't hear. How does one get a Salokya Mukti if it karmish bhakti?
We are going to discuss that in the next slide, Prabhu. It's not that he does not have any devotion. He does not have pure devotion, but mixed devotion is there. devotion mixed with some karma or jnana that is there. So it's not that he has no devotion.
Yes, Salokya, like even devotees, they get Salokya Mukti only. So yeah. Living in the same planet with the Lord without bhakti, how is it possible?
No, I didn't say without bhakti, bro. There is bhakti is there, but it is mixed. So it is mixed with some karma or some jnana or some yoga. So it's not that bhakti is not there, but it is not pure bhakti. That is why they will not get prema, but they will get to stay in the same planet, right? Just like we are staying in the same planet as Narendra Modi, but we may not get the same facilities. Okay, I mean, is my voice still not audible? My internet connection is poor.
Now it's clear.
Now it's clear. Okay. So that's what I was telling, that we may stay in the same planet as Narendra Modi, but we may not experience the same facilities that his mother is experiencing or Amit Shah is getting. That proximity will have its own effect. So a person can stay in Vaikuntha with prema, without prema also. So that is a different topic. We will discuss it. Okay, so then he continues. He says, it is known.
But you will have ananda, right? Even though he is not having prema in Vaikuntha, but you will have ananda.
He will have ananda, which is less than the ananda which is experienced by a person who is at the stage of prema.
Perfect.
Yeah. Definitely ananda will be there. Ananda is there even in Brahma Jyoti. Why would it not be there in Vaikuntha? So definitely it will be there. So he says, it is known by such terms as ananya bhakti and akinchana bhakti. So this is pure duo. This is all. This description, because in this whole commentary, can you hear me? Yeah.
Roji, please start this slide description again. This slide we could not hear anything.
Okay, I think I will switch off my video. Maybe, yes, yeah. So
previous slide also, Roji, we missed.
So, yeah, previous slide, whatever is there, yeah. I will describe through the which I have mentioned here in this. Okay, again, someone is telling they cannot hear me.
No, voice is clear, probably.
Clear, na? Okay. Yeah. So, if you see here, there are at the middle of this, you see three concentric circles. At the middle is a golden ring. So, this is Shuddha Bhakti. So, this is what is called as Varnashrama system. Okay, so the center of Varanashram system is worshipping Vishnu. Right? Atapumbir Vijashreshta Varanashrama Vibhagasha Swanushtitasya Dharmasya Samsiddhir Haritoshanam. Right? So the center of this Varanashram disk is actually Vishnu worship. And the right, and then there is an intermediate circle. The intermediate circle has three components, which is called as Karma Mishra Bhakti, Yoga Mishra Bhakti, Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti. So Pradhani means Pradhanya, means predominant. So Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti means where Bhakti is predominant. Bhakti is predominant, but it is slightly mixed with Karma or Jnana or Yoga. Okay. So Karma Mishra Bhakti means Bhakti plus Karma. Karma is secondary, Bhakti is primary. Similarly, Jnana Mishra Bhakti means Bhakti plus Jnana. Bhakti is primary, Jnana is secondary. And Yoga Mishra Bhakti means Bhakti is primary and Yoga is secondary. So this is called as Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti. Okay. And then there is, so this is like the middle ring. And then there is a peripheral ring, the last ring. This is called as Guni Bhuta Bhakti. This is Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's explanation, terminologies. So Guni Bhuta Bhakti means, Guni means Gauna. Gauna means secondary. When Bhakti is Gauna, not Mukhya, then it is called as Guni Bhuta Bhakti. So this is called as Karma Yoga. So Karma Yoga means Karma plus Bhakti, where Karma is primary, Bhakti is secondary. Or Jnana Yoga, where Jnana is primary, Bhakti I am sorry, poor connection today. So I am not sure till where you heard.
We heard, Prabhuji, but you are explaining the primary as Karma, Jnana, and Ashtanga, yeah. And secondary is Bhakti.
Yeah. So in the first six chapters, primarily Karma Yoga is described, which is Guni Bhuta Bhakti. First six chapters, actually you can say Karma Yoga and Ashtanga Yoga are described, and some Jnana Yoga is also described. That Jnana part is described more elaborately in the last six chapters. And in the middle six chapters, according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, there is a description of Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti and Shuddha Bhakti, or predominant Bhakti and pure Bhakti. So, you know, Pradhani Bhuta is predominant, predominantly Bhakti, but it has some mixture. And Shuddha Bhakti is pure Bhakti. And the last peripheral disc is Guni Bhuta Bhakti. So according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, all the 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita talks either about Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti, Shuddha Bhakti, or Guni Bhuta Bhakti. So all 700 verses, you can divide it like that. whether it is secondary bhakti, predominant bhakti, or pure bhakti. So when we read, when we study Bhagavad Gita, especially Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary to Bhagavad Gita, we should be aware of these terminologies. So which will keep on coming time and again. So we will try to understand this. So this brings us to the end of the introduction to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's introduction to Bhagavad Gita. Very simple, short introduction. Any quick comments, discussion points?
Prabhuji, can I ask from the previous class?
Ah, yes, Prabhu.
Actually, last time we discussed that different presentations of Maharaj Parikshit's disappearance in Mahabharata and Srimad Bhagavatam.
Correct.
So, how do we synthesize it? Because at the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, he mentions that let the takshak or any other magical thing created by the Brahma come and bite me, I am not afraid. So it is unlikely that after saying that he will go and make a fort and stay in that.
Yeah.
So do you accept it as a cult base, or how do we accept it?
Well, actually, Prabhu, there are descriptions. This many times the acharyas explain the different narratives in different shastras by giving various reasons. Sometimes they say it is due to kalpabed. Kalpabeda means in a different day of Brahma, when the same pastime happens, sometimes it happens in different ways. So kalpabeda is one of the explanations given. Sometimes Brahmanda bed explanation is given, that in a different Brahmanda or in a different universe this pastime happened, and in a different universe this pastime happened. Like for example, in the case of the description of Buddha given in Bhagavatam, the acharyas explain, oh, this description of Buddha, this is Buddha in a different Brahmanda, like that it is given. So in the case of Parikshit Maharaj, what explanation they give, I do not know. But whatever it may be, we are dependent on the acharya's explanation, because it's not, we cannot say anything. But I do not know, but definitely they must have given some explanation as to, but I don't recollect reading such a comparison in any of the Bhagavatam commentaries given by our acharyas. They have not spoken about it, interestingly. Mahabharat, none of our acharyas have anyway commented also. So I'm not very sure, but maybe some acharya has commented on that, but I don't know for sure.
Thank you.
Prabhuji, you spoke about Lord Buddha. Mm-hmm. In fact, recently I read in Garga Samhita that soon after Putana was killed by Krishna as the baby, and when your mother Yashoda received Krishna in her arms along with all the other gopis, then she chanted a kavach for the protection of Krishna and various bodily parts of Krishna, naming each part after a particular form of Lord Vishnu, in which she started with first the name Krishna himself. She started with that, as if Krishna is God.
Yeah.
And then towards the end, she also mentions the name of Lord Buddha. And there is a two-worded description there that Buddha will protect this particular bodily part of Krishna.
Okay.
And that entire collection is called Krishna Kavach in the Garga Samhita.
Okay.
So I think from this description, it already means that she knows that Lord Buddha is around, and he is also one of the forms of Lord Vishnu. So maybe a previous...
Previous. Actually, even interestingly, I'll give you one description which is there, because these, they are like Krishna Dyumani Nimloche Girnesho Ajagarenaha Kimnuna Kushalam Bruyan Gata Shrishu Griheshvaham. Uddhava is speaking to Vidura. He says that, oh, the son of Krishna has set. Because Vidura had asked, is it true that Krishna has left the planet? So Uddhava answers, yes, the son of Krishna has set. which means he is rising somewhere else, and he will again rise here later, which means the appearance and disappearance of Krishna are like setting and rising of suns. The same is true with all the avatars. At particular intervals, they keep coming again and again. So, in a previous day of Brahma, they must have come. And the Shastras are eternal. They talk about the previous appearances of those incarnations also. Like say, for example, there is this episode of the Rishis of Dandakaranya, who are... it is mentioned, of course, Ramayana's presentation is different, but Jiva Goswami gives a totally different explanation of that whole episode, where they are meditating on the Lord and Lord Ram comes and they have a desire. I will first tell Ramayana's version, which I have heard many times, but then when I read Bhaktirasam Sindhu, a totally different explanation is given. So there it is mentioned that they desired to have a conjugal relationship with Lord Ram. You must have heard this, right? And Lord Ram said, no, in this incarnation, I am an Ekapatni Vrata. I follow Ekapatni Vrata, so I cannot marry you. In my next appearance, I will appear as Krishna. Then you can have conjugal union with me. This is one. But Jiva Goswami says, no, this explanation is not complete. Because this, there are many verses in Bhagavatam which explain, for example, Yadyad Diyata Urugaya Vibhavayanti Tattad Vapu Pranayase Sadanugrahaya. This is Brahmaji's prayers in the third canto, 9th chapter, where he says, whatever form you want to establish a relationship with Krishna at the success of your sadhana, he will ensure that you establish a relationship with that form of the Lord only. So if you are worshipping Lord Ram, then Lord Ram will not make you, aspire after Lord Krishna. You know, he will not make your connection with Lord Krishna. So Jiva Goswami's explanation is this. He says, actually, the Dandakaranya Rishis were meditating on Lord Krishna only. Someone may say, objection. Krishna has not appeared yet. How can they meditate on Krishna? Jiva Goswami says, Krishna keeps appearing on every day of Brahma, and the Shastras have all the, it's not that the Shastras don't have the pastimes of Krishna. So he says that the Dandakaranya Rishis used to get together and discuss Krishna's pastimes, and they had become Raganuga Bhaktas. And when that Raganuga Bhakti achieved perfection and they were yearning for a conjugal union with Krishna, at that time, Lord Ram along with Mother Sita was passing through Dandakaranya forest. And understanding that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they expressed that desire to Lord Ram. We understand that you are the same Lord whom we are aspiring for. Can you please give us an eternal relationship with your form of Krishna and we being the gopis? And Lord Ram also understood their desire, and within his heart he sanctioned that desire and he moved away. So in reality they understood Lord Ram's supremacy, that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they actually were aspiring for a union with Krishna only. But Krishna had not appeared on that particular day of Brahma, because after Ram only he appears. So the explanation that Jiva Goswami gives is, every day of Brahma Krishna is appearing, and his appearance and pastimes are described in the Shastras, which are eternal. So they had access to all these pastimes, and hearing them they got attached to Krishna like that. So it is possible, yeah, Buddha would have appeared in this in a previous lifetime of in a previous day of Brahma like that.
Prabhuji, in the Puranas, do we get stories from other kalpas, other days of
course? Lord? yeah, not even within Bhagavatam, not all the stories are from this kalpa. Some of the stories acharyas explain are from a previous kalpa. or previous Brahmanda also?
Really, because we, as Gaurang Darshan Prabhu describes, everything is from the first Varahakarpan. This Varahakarpan.
Not everything. No. Not everything. Not every pastime. Some pastimes are from different kalpas also.
Achha.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So if there are no further discussion points, I think we will pause here. And next week when we come together, we will start with the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And we will go verse by verse. So, yes, Sachipram, do you want to share something?
No, thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Grateful to you.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Vancha kalpatarubhyas chakrapasandubhye vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Hare
Krishna. Balaram Chakti Prabhu ki jai.
Jai. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.